Power Breakfast on Power 98.7.
Centre for Development and Enterprise, CDE, has published a new report linking its South Africa's growing unemployment rate and what it calls a jobs bloodbath. We've talked about this quite a few times. As a matter of fact, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't talk about this on Power Breakfast. The think tank says that South Africa has one of the deepest and most persistent unemployment crises in the world, with the situation worsening due to slow economic growth and labor market policies that discourage employers from hiring unskilled workers. On the line with us is Anne Bernstein, Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise, about the 10 million rand and rising report. Anne, good morning. What are the numbers showing, and how bad is it? I mean, warts and all.
Well, South Africa's unemployment rate just keeps getting worse. And as you said in your introduction, we have one of the deepest in the world. And if you're a young person, it's even worse. So we are saying that you've got to understand the causes of this crisis. You've got to think hard about what to do, and then we've got to implement reform. And to keep just talking about this, or job summits, or projects, or special initiatives, or NEDLAC negotiations, none of this is helping, and unemployment keeps deepening, and it gets worse and worse. So it's 10.3 million and rising, and this is almost a national catastrophe.
So what is wrong with the current approach to jobs, and do you think we need a fresh approach? Well, obviously we need a fresh approach into how we look at the world of work and skills development as well. It's not like it's a new thing that you're going to tell us, I'm quite sure, Anne, but who's not listening?
Well, I think a lot of people aren't listening, that we must stop fiddling around the edges, we must stop tweaking, we must stop avoiding the tough reforms that we have to take as a country. We have to get faster growth, and that requires real decisions about how we're going to generate electricity, about solving our fiscal crisis, about a very different attitude to business and the role of competitive markets in promoting faster growth. Those are just some of the issues. But even if we get faster growth, we're not going to get enough jobs because our economy is not labor-intensive enough. We've passed laws and we have regulations that discourage employers from hiring people, especially younger, inexperienced workers. We have negotiating bargaining rules where you can extend bargaining decisions to people who are not party to those decisions, so that disadvantages small firms and new firms. And we kind of raise the costs of the employer-employee relationship, which makes employers reluctant to hire people and try them out. Well, we've got to change all of that.
That is true. I mean, if we take a step back, before 94, apartheid was to blame. After 2008, state capture, increased antagonism towards business and widespread corruption precipitated a near-fatal collapse of governance. We know this for a fact, both in private institutions and government-run state enterprises as well. The key is identify the problem and then find ways of strategically sorting it out with clear objectives and turnaround times. Now, these reforms that you're alluding to, Anne, securing more generating capacity, well, Eskom has to do that anyway. Putting South Africa's finances on a sustainable footing, that's Tito. Tracking the skills crisis through fundamental reform of basic education and training, that's Blade and Angie. Encouraging as much skilled immigration as we can attract. Now, that goes to the heart of part of the problem of talking ourselves up positively, because from what I'm reading, even with local and international press, we talk ourselves down more often than international media does.
Well, I don't think that's our major problem, let's be honest. So let me add to this. South Africa has failed to build a skilled workforce, and we have to change that. We must stop talking about it. Forget the matric hullabaloo every year. Mm-hmm. South Africa comes bottom of almost every international test we participate in.
Yeah.
And we've got to move, you know, not just improve a little, there have been some, we've got to move up one or two gears so that we start competing with other middle-income countries like Vietnam and elsewhere in terms of skills of our workforce. But then we've also got to say, and this is a mindset in South Africa, that the definition of workers in this country must include the unemployed as well. The Expanded Public Works Program proves that there are millions of people in South Africa who are prepared to work for a low wage rather than no wage at all. And we've got to think differently about this entire challenge. I know it's politically difficult, and we've calibrated the reforms we're calling for in terms of the labor market to acknowledge the rights and the situation of unionized workers. We're not saying change all of that. We're saying we've got to open up a portal, a space in our economy for bringing in unskilled, inexperienced people so that they can get their foot into the modern economy and learn all the things that you and I know we learn just from having a job. Because if you're not employed at all, your skills deteriorate. You probably come from a family where nobody works. You just get further and further and further behind. And if we want to be serious about inclusion, we have to get people into a formal job.
You do know, Anne, that your detractors will accuse you of Thatcherism, right?
Well, they can accuse me of anything they want. I would say, look at the empirical experience in Asia, whether it's Vietnam, Bangladesh, China, and many other countries, which all started with a very large sector of low skill, inevitably low wage workers in factories, but they don't end there. And if people want to disagree with us, which is their right, then we have to say, we've had 20 years of a different approach, it's failed. What are you suggesting instead that will get millions of people into jobs?
Part of what we've been doing, Anne, is going around the globe with a team of, what do you call them, lions, hunting for investment, right? Special envoy that was appointed by the president to go around and get some investment into the country. Has this actually worked?
Well, you must speak to them, but our economy is in deep trouble. The Reserve Bank has just revised its expected growth rate for this year and next year downwards, and that's been the case for the last 5 years. So, you know, we can all talk this up as much as we want. We might get a little bit of investment, but the fact is that people aren't going to invest unless you've got reliable electricity, and they feel that there is a steady hand on the governance tiller. And until you get our fiscal situation under control, they won't feel that. We're in deep trouble. And I think that we have to, that's why we're arguing for a whole new deal, a new approach to how we get growth and how we get more jobs. And the two are intimately related. And if you look at all the numbers are showing that the current approach is failing.
What is unavoidable here, Anne, in terms of this new deal?
In terms of?
The new deal that you're calling for.
It's a whole new attitude. It's saying, we can't go on with business as usual. We can't just grow the unemployment rate every single year. And you wait. In the next 2 weeks, it's going to go up when the latest figures come out. We can't keep pretending these things don't matter. This situation is unsustainable. It's not going in the right direction. Now, we can't fix everything at once, and we can't do it very quickly, but we can start to turn how we are thinking about fundamental change that's required for much faster growth and the reforms that are needed in order to get more labor-intensive growth. So it's a new attitude. It's one that says we're in deep trouble and we have to think differently. Have to think differently about how we're going to bring unemployed people into the job market, and we're going to think differently about the role of competitive markets and business. And frankly, you know, our competition policy. Let me give you an example.
Mm.
We need a much more competitive economy. We need to make sure that sectors of our economy are opened up to new entrants. And that's the only way we're going to get new black firms and much more dynamism in the economy. And we must attack abuse of private sector firms. Absolutely. But why do we ignore state-owned companies that are mainly highly inefficient monopolies? Competition policy needs to apply across the economy, not just one sector of us. So that's a very different mindset. And we should, you know, we have to recognize we're in deep crisis. That requires a big rethink. And that's what we're calling for. And I don't think the country's done that.
All right, Dan Bernstein, Director for the Center for Development and Enterprise there, calling for a complete rethink, change of mindset and change of attitude. We're in deep trouble.
We are. I mean, the latest news is that COSATU has made a suggestion in a document that civil servants' pensions and state-run unemployment fund be used to cut Eskom's debt by more than half of the 200 billion rand. They want the government to consider making it mandatory for private pension funds to invest part of the money they control into infrastructure. The last part, I'm lukewarm too. You know,
maybe that's the kind of rethinking that we need to be having. But of course, you'll have PSA coming around saying, "Yay, don't touch our members' the pension fund. Stop it with your nonsense. Stop right there." And that's
so true.
That's the kind of thinking that is prevailing right now.
All right, this is Power 98.7 now.